Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today, we're going to talk about Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. It has not started yet. We're just going to talk about the matchup. We're going to talk about, essentially, Tampa Bay just storming back and winning four games in a row. This isn't the first time that they've done that. And let's talk about some Blackhawks rumors. So, Matt, can you believe that Tampa came back down 2-0 to win 4-2?
Yep, I can believe it because they're experienced. They've done it before. They have the best goalie in the world, and they never lost hope in anything, and they just kept at it. I think John Cooper said their loss in Game 2, they got their legs back after that long kind of that break they had after the sweep. And they stuck with it, and I thought the Rangers had a chance to put a dagger in them Game 3, and they didn't, and they just kind of poked the bear a little bit, saying the Rangers fans saying that Shesterkin is better, Igor is better, and since they said that, Vasilevskiy went 4-0. So I think that Tampa's on a really, they're on a roll right now, and I think they could win 3 in a row. It's cups.
When I was watching John Cooper, I think it was Game 2, post-game conference, dude, guy wasn't nervous at all. No. He was just like, whatever, you know.
He was happy, actually. He said, we got our legs back, and you know what? We just didn't get the win. We did everything right. They were just better than us tonight.
Yeah.
It's a good message for your team that gives them, you know, some confidence going into Game 3, and they played well.
Yeah. So I'm
How
pretty,
about Stamkos, buddy?
You know what?
Stevie Y Jr.?
No, I wouldn't go there,
man,
at all.
A lot of comparisons going on.
I don't know why. I have no idea why. Because
dude,
Steve Yzerman didn't have injury issues like Stamkos does.
Well, even when Stevie Y did have injuries, he would play through them. There was a video of him playing with one leg, pretty much, and
right.
He was scoring goals. It's just the guy was an ultimate leader. But I thought Stamkos, Game 6, man, I don't know what it was, but he reminded me of Stevie Y, the way he played. He had a lot of heart. I think he went right to the box, came out and scored. Man, that's just clutch, man. And he's been a good leader, underrated on this team. You know, he's not getting as much praise as Cooch and Hedman, Vasilevskiy, Point. He's you know, he's still a great player, and he showed up, man, and they followed him.
He's a good player that plays on a really great team is what he is, and he just happens to have the C on his chest. Stamkos was an elite scorer at one point, and he hasn't been that in quite a while.
He put 40 up, dude,
this year.
I think so. I'm gonna check it. I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, look
he
that
had
up.
A great
I'm
season. I'm getting on it right now. I know he's got 400 goals in his career. He's definitely got a very wicked shot. Yeah, he scored. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 42 goals this year, 64 assists, 106 points, plus 24.
All right, let's see here.
He's at 481, brother, goals,
okay,
and 491 assists in 972 points in 922 games. He has been a very good player.
42, 17, 29, 45, 27, 9, 36, 43, 25, 29, 60. So,
yeah, that was his best year.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been a good player, but I don't think that he's, you know, when I think of Stamkos, I think of that one year when he scored 60 goals. The year before that, he had 45, then he had 51. So that was the trend at that one point. And then after that, let's look at games played. 48, 37. He had an 82 in there, a 77, 17, 78, 82, 57, 38. And this year he bounced back, had a healthy year, 81 games. That's probably it for this guy. I highly, highly doubt that he plays over 75 games for the rest of his career.
Well, after this run, if it goes 7, I'm sure he's going to take a couple years off his life because it's these Stanley Cups, man. I mean, Taves, you know, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's very underrated, Stamkos. I thought he had a great game, that Game 6. And showed great leadership, and even the players, his teammates, were praising him. He, you know, you don't think of Stamkos when you think of the Lightning. Who's the first guy you think? I think of Vasilevskiy, Victor Hedman, and And then you forget, oh yeah, Stamkos, man, he's still a good player.
I'll be honest with you. The first person, whenever you say Tampa Bay Lightning, the first thing I think of is Vinny LeCavalier. And then the second thing I think of is Martin St. Louis. And then after that, I think of Steven Stamkos.
Okay. I think of Brad Richards, Hobby Boulin, St. Louis, LeCavalier, Dave Andrechuk. He was the first captain to hoist.
Yeah,
I think of Cooch and Stammer and, you know, Vasilevsky. Obviously, he's the best in the world right now. He's in his zone, too,
now. He's not even on this planet right now, bro.
No, it's so awesome to watch, man. I love when goalies take over.
Probably Hedman, too. I think it's Stamkos and Hedman.
Well, did you see that hit that Lafreniere threw on Hedman?
No.
Game 6? So it was a dirty hit, and there was no penalty on the play. There was no fine. It was a direct shot to the head, elbow to the head, kind of like a blindside hit. And Hedman went to he had to go to the black room for the concussion test, and I don't know if he came back, but I'm surprised there was no punishment with that, because they're really cracking down on all these hits and throwing out fines like crazy this year.
Right.
I hope Hedman's okay.
Before I go any further and I hit my next point, I got to let everybody know that this podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. And I'll tell you what, man, these guys have great products and they're great guys to work with. They have this thing called the Weed Whacker. And essentially what it is it takes care of your, you know, like your nose hairs and your ears hairs, I know a lot of hockey savages out there have it and it needs to be taken care of. Do us a favor. Use our code SHYTOMAHAWK and get yourself one of these Weed Whackers to take care of that, because it's unsightly and you want to be one of those dudes walking around with a forest coming out of your ears. And not to mention some of their other products that take care of the undercarriage, if you know what I mean. Be a little considerate, you know, to your lady friend, you know, your wife or your significant other or what have you, and make sure that you trim everything up down there and get everything taken care of. They've even got ball deodorant, which is something that I've never heard of before, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, but they have it, and you know what? It's actually pretty cool. It works. And one of their kits they have, what comes with the shaver, it comes with the, you know, the ear weed whacker, and it comes with a pair of boxers that are pretty awesome. I used them to run in a couple days ago, and they actually worked out pretty well. So do us a favor, check out Manscaped. They're awesome. Products are awesome. They shipped it to me. I'm going to let you guys know. And I tried it out. It was something that I was actually looking to buy myself, but I didn't. They sent it to me. It's awesome. I'm going to keep on using it, and I'm going to let you guys know how my how my Manscaped journey goes. Yeah, no kidding. You know, something that I did want to say about Stamkos, and it's something that isn't necessarily talked about a lot, is that he's actually pretty reliable at the faceoff dot. Typically, when I see him, he's usually doing pretty well there. Normally, you know, when you think of scorers, you think of, you know, guys just putting points up, but he's actually really good with the possession game as well. And to be honest with you, I think he's an underrated passer.
Yeah, I think he is too. And you know what? He's got great line mates. He's had great line mates since year one he started.
He has.
Started off with St. Louis, and I believe St. Louis really helped his career get even better. He's just that great of a hockey player, hockey-minded guy. Now we obviously see him coaching with the Habs and stuff, but I mean, then he's, you know, he's had Braden Point, he's had Kucherov, he's had guys come up and down with him, and you know, he's 19 goals away from 500, man. That's an elite club.
And yeah, that's pretty
good.
To
be honest, he's 32 years old. I mean, yeah, there's a chance like he could even get to 600, like Stevie Y status. This is a Stevie Y draft pick. Don't forget, it's kind of cool that this is Stevie Y's team.
He would have to be healthy the rest of his career to hit 600.
Well, I mean, if he keeps putting up 40s,
yeah,
even 30s, it can happen. He's got a couple years left. I mean, 32 that's pretty young, man. I mean, a lot of these guys play, these good guys. It's like you said, it depends on his health.
Yeah.
But the way he's been shooting the puck, I could see him getting close to 600.
I just don't see him as, you know, staying healthy. That's it. You know, I mean, look at this one year. He played 82 games, 2014, 2015. had 72 points. He was a plus minus two. A plus two. And he put up 70 points.
In 2015. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see. Okay, yeah, that was the year they made it to the final, right? Or is that the year after?
The I think Hawks, that. Oh, no, no, no. It was the year after 2015, 2016. Oh, wait, no, no. 2014, 2015 is when we played them and we beat them.
Well, they've been elite since they've made the final. I mean, they got a lesson from the Hawks.
Yeah, they did.
They got a big lesson in jumping to Colorado. I think Colorado is at that point right now where Tampa was in 2015 when they lost to the Hawks. I think that they're a really good team.
Right.
I think they need a goalie. To be honest with you, I think they need a starting goalie and a couple pieces, and I think Colorado can win. Hey, maybe they'll surprise us and beat Tampa, but I think Tampa is just too good like the Hawks.
I'm going
like
to put up
at this time.
I'm going to put up my prediction, man. I'm going to say Colorado 4-2.
Really?
Yeah. I think that Tampa might win the first game, Colorado wins one, Tampa wins one, Colorado wins one. Colorado wins a nail biter to take it up 3-2, possibly OT, and then they close out on that last game. I don't think that Tampa's been through some wars in over the past couple years, and specifically this playoff series, and they don't have their number one point producer. So actually Stamkos was I think their top point producer this season, but I'm thinking about Braden Point being that X factor.
He's close.
Yeah.
They're saying he might be playing game one. He's been warming up. He's
this
very
guy,
close.
I think this guy is injured, man. I think this guy is injured and he's going out there like 40% of himself.
Honestly, do you need him? The way they're playing right now, I think everything's working. You know, I mean, he's of course they're going to want him if they have access and availability for him. But I mean, right now they beat a pretty good Ranger team. They pretty much taught him a lesson after game two.
Like, yeah, hey, they did.
You kids aren't ready yet.
Colorado, man, they've steamrolled their opposition. I mean, I think two series they won 4-0.
Look who they played. They didn't play anybody really challenging, in my opinion.
They beat the Blues, 4-2?
I thought the Blues were the only team that could beat them, and the Blues did lose Binnington, who was in another goalie zone. But, I mean, you beat Mike Smith, really? They were scoring goals from the freaking center ice line.
That's true, but you know man?
This is a different animal they're going against.
I agree. You know, I knew that the McDavid show was going to stop because it just could not go on anymore. One guy cannot carry your entire team. Draisaitl was playing second fiddle there, and he had an impressive, 26 points in like 10 games?
Yeah. He was hurt too.
After
he
getting a high ankle sprain. Yeah. You know, that's impressive, man.
And he kept going at it, making great passes. I was so impressed with that guy that last their elimination game. He did everything he could, man.
Yeah, he did.
And I mean, I got a lot of my respect. And I'm not an Oilers fan. I probably never will be an Oilers fan, but I'm a fan of that guy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. But I'm just curious. It just seems like Colorado's just completely rested, you know?
Yeah, that look what that did to Tampa last series.
Yeah,
that
but they're
too
old.
Much rest.
You know, they're
yeah,
old.
Yeah, you're right.
It's been
yeah.
a couple years, man. They've had two really, really long years.
I think, like Peter Forsberg used to say, rest is the best weapon in a game, best of seven series.
Right.
And he was an injury guy. I mean, he was one of the best. And it's funny that his team's playing in the final again. I just don't think that Colorado's goaltending is, I mean, they had to be average this playoffs up to now. Now they have to be really good.
Right.
And it's a different animal going against Vasilevskiy. But I will say this. I think Colorado is the only team that could probably beat Tampa in this playoffs if it happens. They have the best team on paper to get it done.
This is probably the best team that Tampa has played since Toronto in the first round.
Yeah, and Toronto, they had them. They had them 3-1, and they kind of let up. And the experience of Tampa, the great coaching of Tampa, never let up. And, you know, Toronto, they blew it. They choked. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully Colorado's been watching these games, what they have to do. I think the run-and-gun stuff, I mean, it could work at times, but Tampa can do it too.
Yeah,
they're kind of like the same team. And they have a goalie that can bail them out if they don't show up.
That's true.
Colorado does not. They have a backup goalie, and they have Kemper, who's, I think he's got some injury issues with his eyes or something. So it's going to be interesting.
That's not good for a goalie.
No. I think he took a stick to the eye or maybe even a puck that got through. There's a little bit of a little gap for the eyes, the eye cage, and it I guess it went through, and it was brutal to see, but I mean, I hope he's okay, but he's nowhere near the skill level of Vasilevskiy.
Right.
So I think, like, if you were to put the lines next to each other, there's a lot of similarities, but when it comes to goaltending, it's not even close. It's like 90% better to 10. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not even close. The defense, you got Cale Makar canceling out, Victor Hedman, you got Devon Taves or whatever, and Ryan McDonough, who's been good this playoffs too. So, I mean, Nathan McKinnon's been on, but keep in mind, they did lose Kadri. He's a big part of the agitation role, the grinder role, and he's been good. I hate the guy. I can't stand him, but he's a guy that if he was on my team, I would be like, I'm glad he's on our team. You know, he's like a Brad Marchand light kind of. But yeah, man, I'm gonna stick with Tampa. I think the experience and the goaltending is just too damn good. I got them probably in six.
Okay, so we're pretty much just on opposite sides here. I hate Colorado, but
I can't root for a central team.
It's hard, man. I'm just trying to be honest. Yeah. You know, yeah. I think that, you know, I just think that Tampa just might be a little too worn down. You know,
it could very well happen. I mean, look at, and New York had them. They could have put a dagger in them, and they let up.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to wonder, like, how many times is Tampa gonna just kind of come out of left field and just steal one like that again?
Yeah.
I mean, they had them dead to rights, 3-0.
Especially like, you know, a potent offense like the Avs.
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun series. I think this is good for the game. You want your superstars going against each other. There's a lot of superstars in this series. I'm excited. I will say the only time I rooted for the Avalanche was when Ray Bourque was finishing his last year and Sakic handed him the cup. Right after they won, Sakic did not even hoist it, gave it right to Ray Bourque. That was a great hockey moment. I think it's one of the best hockey moments ever.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And that was the only time I rooted for the Avalanche. Forsberg was one of my favorite players. I still love him. I can't root for him now just because of the... I don't know, man. It's just the Central Division kind of rivals, and I like Nathan McKinnon, but he kind of rubbed me the wrong way last year with this whole, my team's got to commit. Like, come on, man. These guys are committed. They're in the NHL. You're just crazy, you know?
Yeah, he is. He rubbed me the wrong way when he was doing his little spiel about Kadri during the All-Star game thing.
Oh, where he thought Kadri should be on the team and not, like, DeBrincat and other, like, last-place guys.
He's smoking crack, man.
Come on. I mean, yeah, he's just talking to talk. Because Kadri's not an all-star. He had a very good season, but he's not an all-star.
Playing on a really great team. Could you imagine if McKinnon was, if DeBrincat was playing on Colorado? He probably would have had 65 goals this year.
He very well could have, yeah. And, you know, sucks that we've been seeing his name in the trade rumors. And, you know, now I, like, jumping over to the Hawks, they're saying Kirby Doc now. So it's going to be interesting, man. July 13th, I believe, is free agency day instead of July 1st. So I guess everything got pushed back a week with the with the COVID shutdown. But
right.
So
moving on, let's talk some rumors, man. I've been hearing from the grapevine that Kirby Doc, they're taking calls on Kirby Doc. Now, this could be one of those things where, you know, is he available? Or are they just doing their due diligence and putting a feeler out there? What do you think, Matt?
Well, it sounds like everybody is up for grabs now. They said that they're taking calls on everybody. So I'd be okay with Kirby getting traded. I don't think it's going to work out here. I don't dislike the guy. I think the Hawks ruined him. I know I've said this before. I think they threw him into the fire too early and he wasn't ready and didn't really develop. Bowman was not a good developing GM. And I'm very impressed with Davidson's approach with, what's his name, Lucas Reichel. I think they're doing the right thing. And I thought Kirby deserved a shot like that, and he didn't get it. So and you don't want to see him go because you don't want him to go somewhere and just completely light it up with a different change of scenery. But you know what? He might need a change of scenery just for his career to keep going on.
Right. I personally, you know, this could turn into one of the things. As soon as he leaves, he turns into a 30-goal scorer.
That's what's scary. That's what, you know, like Teuvo Teravainen, he's had a good career, you know, since he's been traded, and it hurts. We knew Panarin was going to have a great career.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, and that sucks, watching him, you know, on the Rangers, lighting it up and being a top 10 player every season. And, you know, you don't want that to happen with, you know, Doc and DeBrincat. It sounds like DeBrincat's going to be gone. And I think the two teams that I've been hearing are the Devils and the Kings.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Kings have to offer. I know that the Devils have that second-round pick to offer. But, I don't know how I feel about it because DeBrincat's still young and he's a goal scorer. And you don't let a goal scorer walk for an unproven player. You have no idea. You don't even know who you're going to grab. So it's just, I don't think I'm ready to let go of DeBrincat yet.
Yeah, I don't want to let go of DeBrincat too. But, you know, and here's something to think about. If DeBrincat can get us four solid NHLers, maybe two draft picks and two prospects and all four of them turn out to be, you know, good players. I mean, hey, man, that's a good return.
Yeah, it's a good return. Hagel's was a good return we got from Tampa, the two first rounders and the two NHL players.
We need to build up our team.
Radish, they're solid players, yes, but DeBrincat's proven, man. He's proven he could score. He's proven he can pass. He's a leader, man. I think he could. He like reminds me of a Dylan Larkin. Like, hey, I'm gonna be the captain of a bad team, but in a couple years we're gonna be good. Actually, speaking of Dylan Larkin, I heard Stevie Y is taking calls on DeBrincat too. He's interested. Yes, because he's obviously a Michigan native.
Yeah.
And there's that connection. I think him and Larkin played together back in the day or whatever. But, dude, that would suck. But can you imagine that team? That team would be solid.
Who would we get?
Detroit's, I'll take Mo Sider, but he's not going to come here. But
hey, I'm just, you know, throwing a feeler out there. You know, what's it worth to you?
I'll take Tyler Bertuzzi.
I'll take Mo.
Yeah, that guy's going to be a stud for many years. And I'd even, you know, if I'm Davidson, I'm like, hey, I'm going to give Stevie Y.
Doc and DeBrincat for Sider.
No, I'm just going to give him the keys to the draft, and he can draft whoever he wants for us. Let him do it, because that guy picks gems. It's unbelievable. It's a big year for Davidson, man. It sucks that he doesn't have that first rounder, but, you know, you find good players in the second, third, fourth round. Sometimes you find them in the last round.
Yeah.
You know, like Henrik Zetterberg or, you know, Pavel Datsyuk, like, they used to do, the Red Wings used to just luck out, but we need some luck like that.
Makes you wonder if it's luck or if it's just the way they develop these players.
Yeah, and it's great scouting. They have really, like, Nick Lidstrom is, I think, Stevie Y's like right hand man in Europe. He's taking care of all the. I think he's like the head of the scouts now or something.
Oh, okay.
But that team, man, they just know how to do it. And, you know, I know they've been kind of a laughingstock the last couple seasons, but I know they fired their coach, but I'm hearing Barry Trotz is interested. I'm hearing Bruce Cassidy is interested. There's really good coaches out there for a team like Detroit where they're at now that can get them over that hump. So, and if they landed DeBrincat, oh, man, that's going to be a scary team. Yeah. And you know what? I don't dislike Detroit. I actually really enjoyed watching Detroit last year. I think that the Nedeljkovic was a good pickup. I know he kind of had it was a new team, you know, new system. He kind of had to learn, you know, to adjust to the new city and everything. Yeah. But I think he's going to have a good bounce back here, and Detroit's going to be good.
Oh, man.
It sucks to say. Yeah. It sucks to say, but I mean, they've done it right, man. They had the full rebuild. They kept Dylan Larkin, and I think the Hawks should do that with DeBrincat. But if, you know, like you said, if it gets us a lot of picks and maybe a prospect or two, I guess it's Davidson's team, and he's going to put his footprint on it.
You know, something to think about is they're not paying Dylan Larkin $10
million. No, he's making like six, I believe, right?
And the thing is that DeBrincat is going to want 10. 9 to 10.
Yeah, but he's proven, man. He proves he could score goals.
I don't know, man.
He could score on that one side. I know he's got Kaner passing to him, but there's some good players on that team, too.
It's a lot of money, especially if you're rebuilding.
Well, the Red Wings aren't. I think they're ready to go. I think this is their year to go for it. I don't know. I think New Jersey doesn't really make sense to me. It kind of does. Wow. You know, you got your Jack Hughes. You want a shooter now with him.
Yeah.
But they're not that close. Yeah. I think the Hawks aren't too far behind them. You know, maybe like a half of season, if that, with developing guys. They don't impress me. I'm not scared of. I'm more scared of Detroit. And even L.A., L.A.'s very close.
Yeah, they are.
And then you have to deal with DeBrincat playing you four times and probably scoring two each game to rub it in, which would suck. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting, man. I can really see Davidson trying to get that first-round pick.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But I heard this year's draft isn't that good. Next year's draft, I heard they got this, what's his name, Bedard or something?
He's Connor Bedard, I think his name is.
He's supposed to be the guy like that's going to can make the jump from juniors right to the NHL.
Really?
Like a guy you want to start with. So,
we'll
see, man.
So is there going to be a lottery for him next year?
Or does somebody
already have the first draft pick that year?
No, there's a lottery every season. So even if the Hawks went 0-82, they still might not get the first, you know, the first pick.
They might not have that Oilers luck then.
Which is a joke because I think, in my opinion, the last place team should get the first round pick because you want to get them out of the basement as fast as they can.
Yeah.
I mean, look, otherwise you get bad luck. New Jersey's kind of been bad the last couple seasons. We all Edmonton, we've seen what they've gone through, and they've been getting first-round picks, like, I feel like every season.
I was going to say, I think it's a problem that there should be something like a stipulation that says, if you've gotten three first-round draft picks in a row, you can't have a fourth, because they went through Taylor Hall, then, what was it,
McDavid.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yakupov.
And then Yakupov.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was Connor McDavid. Or didn't Draisaitl get drafted, then McDavid?
I'm not sure about where Draisaitl... He might have been a second rounder.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but...
It's a hell of a second-round pick.
That ain't right with that. Even, like, Phoenix was bad this year. I think Phoenix got the first-round pick, right?
I have no idea.
I forget. But, I mean... Obviously, you want Phoenix to get out of the basement, but they can't even... get an arena to play in. They're going to be playing at a college, and they're not even allowed to put their logo on center ice. So it's going to be very interesting. Yeah.
Oh man.
What are they going to do? Just like Photoshop it on TV? Like
they
just...
said, it's going to be very intimate. That's what the owner said. He's like, it's going to be an intimate setting.
Well, I get it. If you can't sell it out, you know, but it's going to look crowded at least from the TV. Hopefully they're just giving tickets away to the students and they just turn into Yotes fans. But it's brutal. That team needs to be pulled out of that state completely. Put them in Canada. Give them a chance to succeed.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, hey, man, do you have any NHL news or do you want to just leave it at that?
Yeah, I think we could leave it at that. But I don't know. Have you heard anything about any coaching Blackhawks interviews? I heard Barry Trotz was contacted by the Blackhawks. I know it's a long shot. I think I'm still on the Rick Tocchet bandwagon and the Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah.
I think that would be perfect. But you know, I don't think he's gonna want to go through a rebuild. But hey, we can hope or. You're going to get stuck with Derek King again and just kind of suck for the next 3 years, and then they're going to let him go and just kind of throw him to the wolves because their Hawks are hopefully going to be a little bit better at that time. But, I'm hoping just for the sake of the diehard fans that we get somebody we can get behind.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if, like, this is a year to even go for a coach. You know what I mean?
Well, there's so many good ones available. You hate to let them slip through your hands. You know, just, yeah. I mean, you got them, like, available. Make it look good. Like, hey, we got some good guys in the system. We got a blueprint here. We'd love you to lead it. You know, we want you to be the leader. And some guys live for that. They like the challenge. And some guys are like, nah, I'm going for a ring. You know, so we'll see, man. It's going to be interesting. I don't really want King to be the coach, but I can understand their thinking, like, hey, let's not spend a lot of money on a guy. Let's just let him do his thing. And like the Red Wings coach, though, what's his name? Jeff Blashill.
Right.
Yeah, do your thing for the next 5 years. And when we're close, we're going to can you. And when we're good, we're going to bring in a good guy.
Yeah.
I think that's what would happen to King. And, you know, it sucks because he's doing all the grunt work and kind of setting it up. And then somebody, like, just takes over and, you know, next 2 years they win a cup again. But I don't know, man. King just kind of bores me. He's kind of like the cool uncle, you know, at a party. Hey, what's up, dude? Have a beer with him and just shoot the shit. But I just don't think he's a good coach. I think he's more of a buddy, you know, like a friend coach. And he'd make a great assistant coach, I think, just to kind of bond with the players and, you know, do the stuff that the head coach doesn't do because he's more of the serious coach, down to business guy. But man, I hope we land Cassidy Tockett. I would be very happy. I'd be excited, actually. And knowing it's a rebuild year, I still would be excited.
Well, cool, man. Everybody, do us a favor. Hit subscribe if you haven't. We're very appreciative for all of our listeners. And we're going to catch you on the next one. We're going to be talking about game one of this Tampa Bay Avalanche series. We'll see who wins. You know, me and Matt are really excited for this one because it kind of just seems like a clash of two worlds here between these two teams. So that's all we got for you tonight, and we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.